Brian Bello made his second MLB start and showed that he needs more time in AAA after allowing 5 earned runs in the first 3 innings. Then the offense tied it up, but the bullpen could not hold that lead and allowed 6 more runs. That was not a recipe for success and handed the Red Sox the loss 10-5 to the Rays in the first game of this series. But now it's Chris Sale's turn to tie up the series in his season debut.
You are Locked On Red Sox, your daily Boston Red Sox podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I want to welcome you back into the Locked On Red Sox podcast, and thank you so much for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. I'm your host, Massachusetts Pirates team insider, Jake Ignaszewski, and I'll be riding solo, breaking down loss to the Tampa Bay Rays in game one of this series. And as I said in the opening, Brian Bello's second MLB start did not go expected. Sort of an echo of what we saw in his MLB debut, where he pitched the same amount that he did in this outing. 4 innings, allowed 6 hits in his debut, 4 earned runs, 3 walks, and struck out 2. Did have a little bit more strikeouts in this outing with 5, but he did also have 3 walks, similar to his debut in this last outing. Allowed 5 earned runs, and all those earned runs came within the first 3 innings, and that is not going to motivate the offense to score tons of runs and win a ball game, especially when it happens early in the game. Sort of can sometimes deflate an offense, like we talked about in our last episode when we were talking about the Yankees going up 6. But something that the Red Sox offense has done so well over these last 2 games, sort of what we saw on Sunday, is find interesting and creative ways to come back when they are down in the score. And we saw the same thing happen in this game against the Rays, but ultimately was not enough. We'll talk about why it wasn't enough in a little bit, but looking at the offense, they were down 2 starting off in the second inning. Alex Verdugo continued to stay hot, single to drive in Xander Bogaerts. Then in the third inning, when the Sox were down 5-1, JD Martinez smacked a 2-run double to make it 5-3. And JD's just a guy where he is just dusting off any coldness that he had over the last few games, really has broken out of his slump and is looking like the JD Martinez that we saw in the start of this season. Just really coming up clutch for the Sox over the last few games, ended up homering on Sunday as well. And then we saw in the fourth inning, Jaron Duran single to score Ref Snyder to make it 5-4. And then in the fifth, Xander Bogaerts single to drive in JD Martinez to tie it 5-5. But as I mentioned in the open, it was just not enough to hold the tie. The bullpen ended up blowing up and allowing 6 more earned runs. That started when Jake Diekman came in. He allowed the Rays to take the lead after Yandy Diaz ended up doubling to make it 6-5. Really looking at, you know, Jake Diekman's performance, you know, throughout this season and really in this game, it's just another tough outing for him. Fangraphs has this thing where it's a meltdown or a shutdown, and Jake Diekman is tied for 4th in the MLB with 10 meltdowns. Definitely not a great stat that you want to hang your hat on. And this has just been continuous struggles for Jake Diekman to be able to come in and just shut the door. We saw especially when he first came into this game, it's sort of something he does. I don't know why every single time he comes into a game, he's just super duper wild. I don't get it whatsoever. He ended up hitting the first batter that he faced in this outing. He does that a lot. I don't have the stat in front of me of how many times he's done it so far this season, but it's a lot. It's definitely more than probably 3 times. It's pretty crazy. And then we obviously saw when Phillips Valdez came in that 8th inning, ended up allowing 3 earned runs. So then the Rays ended up padding on their lead to make it 10-5. But just a tough loss for this Red Sox team. A great example, an outcry, essentially, that the Red Sox need bullpen help. You just can't rely on some of these guys down in Worcester to be able to make it happen. You know, we saw Phillips Valdez come in, struggle a little bit, three earned runs. And then Jake Diekman, obviously, like I just talked about, just a really tough outing. Something that I did want to mention about this game that's just so frustrating to watch is, you know, the defense that we've seen produced at first base. You know, not only Franchy Cordero, but Bobby Dalbec as well. And this play that he had, it was an error, fly ball, so easy to make. And it didn't seem like he really lost it in the ceiling, the white dome that Tropicana Field has. He just ended up allowing it to just fall out of his glove. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he lost it. I don't know if the ball drifted, but it's just a great example that the Red Sox need to find a replacement at first base. I mean, that was just so embarrassing. And what Dalbec has been able to produce, the plate, is just nothing to really get excited about whatsoever. In my opinion, his production isn't going to help you get into the playoffs and fight for a World Series run. And that's the type of players that the Red Sox need right now. I understand he's young. I understand he has a lot of potential, but at the same time, you know, maybe sending him down, trying to work things out, I don't know. You can't give him less playing time because that's just going to hurt his production even more. But just a really tough play to watch. Ended up hurting the Red Sox in the end of this game. And it's just an all around tough loss for the Red Sox, especially with how critical this Rays series is. You know, the Red Sox right now are only a half a game ahead of them in second place of the AL East. And these games are going to be really important. You know, if you're watching the video version, I'm wearing a Woo Sox hat. Got to root for the Woo Sox kids making things happen for this very injured Red Sox team. But, you know, the pitching staff really needs to step up. You know, hopefully Chris Sale in his season debut can find a way to help the Red Sox win in this game too. And this is just such an important series for this Red Sox team. All of these series against interdivision rivals are just so important. You got to win these games. And this was just a tough one that they lost. And hopefully we can see them come out with a more winning mentality tomorrow. In order to do that, I think they might need to have some Built Bar. I don't know about you, but Built Bar actually has these brand new coconut brownie chunk puffs that you got to try. And, you know, we've seen the brownie chunk Built Bar, but now they got the puffs added to it. And it's something that, you know, not only myself, but my friends are raving about. And it's pretty crazy how Built Bar finds a way to produce these delicious bars with 100% real chocolate. And it also has low calories, low sugar, high protein. And as I mentioned, it's super delicious. So go over to built.com right now and check out not only the coconut brownie chunk bar, but also their puffs version. They also have tons of other great bars, you know, also birthday cake as well. So go over and check those out. It's at built.com to check out all those. You can use the promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order. That's promo code LOCKED15. So as we talked about in the first segment of this Locked On Red Sox podcast, not a great way for the Red Sox to start this Rays series, but now we need to get excited for this game too. And this will be the season debut of Chris Sale. Everybody's so excited about it. You know, there's just going to be so much buzz tomorrow. You know, we're going to see all over Red Sox Twitter. It's Chris Sale Day, finally. You know, everybody's been waiting for this day. You know, if you are out of the loop and don't know where Chris Sale has been, he had a stress fracture in his ribs. And when I was able to talk to him after his Worcester start, he mentioned that he hasn't really changed his preparation or warm-up whatsoever. Quite honestly, I don't really get that. I feel like maybe he would have changed one tiny little thing. I don't know, to hopefully avoid this so that it doesn't happen again. Because we've seen him be out for the first 3 to 4 months of the MLB season. But, you know, Chris Sale being Chris Sale, who knows? He mentioned that the recommendations that he got from his doctor of how to avoid it, the only thing that they said was that for him to sit on the couch, and he's way too competitive and to do that. And we saw that competitiveness, especially when that viral video came out of of him breaking all this stuff in the Woo Sox clubhouse. But hopefully he can bring that fire and energy on the mound in Tropicana Field against the Rays in game two. Hopefully he can also have much better control compared to what we saw in Worcester and in his most recent rehab start. He ended up walking five guys and was really frustrated about his performance in that game and his lack of control. And he mentioned that he was going to do some bullpen starts, look at a lot of film, really try and figure out how he can get back to his, in his words, his high caliber control and be able to really be the Chris Sale that we used to see. I think at this point in his career, we need to stop expecting to see, you know, early Chris Sale, you know, 2016 to 2018. I think, you know, he realizes that he's in his later half of his career. He's gone through a lot of injuries and he might not be the same ace dominant guy that we're super used to, but if he can just be reliable, go out there, allow one to two earned runs, go out there and strike out 10 guys, you know, even if it's 7-8, you know, I'll be happy. I just don't want to see the Chris Sale that we saw last year, you know, where he allowed, I think it was like 8 runs against the Orioles. Like, that's just embarrassing, especially when you're paying the guy $30 million. But hopefully he can bounce back and have a lot better outing than he did in Worcester. It'll be interesting to see how many innings he does go. Only had around 75 pitches when he pitched in Worcester. Ended up only going 3 2/3 within that span. So we'll be curious to see if he goes 4-5. You know, who knows? I think the Red Sox kind of want to ease him back. It will be interesting to see how they really go about that whole situation, because we saw really they did something similar when he came back last season from Tommy John. But, you know, obviously Tommy John and a stress fracture are a little bit different. But he'll be going against Corey Kluber, who actually made his last start against the Red Sox, ended up doing an incredible job in his last outing against this team, pitching 6 innings, only allowing 3 hits, 0 earned runs, and 5 strikeouts. So he's already seen success against this Red Sox lineup, a little bit more of a banged up Red Sox lineup this go around, but hopefully the Sox can find a way to learn from what did not go well in their last matchup against Corey Kluber and can find ways to take advantage of him to get a win and tie up this series in game 2 against the Rays. All we can do is really cross our fingers, because it's pretty crazy how many more injuries the Red Sox have been piling up over this last week. Another one happened yesterday. Kevin Pulecki was put on the COVID IL, and now Connor Wong came up to replace him. And it's just piling on. It's pretty crazy. Red Sox now have 11 injuries, including James Paxton, really close to what we saw last season in August when they had the whole COVID outbreak and there was like 14 guys that were injured or on the COVID IL. And, you know, we saw so many Worcester players come up and find ways to really fill in key roles and come up big. And we've seen a very similar thing happen this go around, but you just got to be grateful and happy that we're starting to see some of these guys come back, like Sale, Eovaldi, Whitlock, and hopefully, you know, these injuries can slow down and they don't keep on piling up each and every single week, because it's going to be really tough to be able to get excited about watching this team if all we're doing is seeing a version of the Woo Sox that we saw earlier in this season. So hopefully the injuries can go down a little bit, but I'm curious to see how Connor Wong does in this go around with the Sox. Has been hitting very productive down in Worcester, sporting a .267 batting average, hitting 6 home runs and driving in 20. So very curious to see how he does. Has done a really good job of seeing the ball deep, getting on base, getting some really hard contact. I also had the opportunity to speak with him a few weeks ago about some of his success at the plate. Got to ask him a little bit of some get to know you questions of what are some of his hobbies outside of baseball. So I'll be posting that episode a little bit later in the week, so you get to get to know a little bit more about Connor Wong. But I hope you guys have been enjoying those Farm Report episodes. we really want to do our best on this Locked On Red Sox podcast to help you get closer and get to understand some of these guys a little bit more and learn more about them so you can get excited to see what they're able to do on the field. But if you're able to learn a little bit more about them off the field, I feel like it'll help you connect a little bit deeper to them on the field. But as always, greatly appreciate everybody tuning in to the Locked On Red Sox podcast. Going into our last and final segment where we're going to do a little bit of a mental health minute, I just want to take a second to talk to you about Rock Auto. So with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. So why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning like, is your Odyssey an LX or an EX? And why wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer and choosing the only brand that their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers to access rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. So save time right now and also money with using Rock Auto. And why choose to spend 30%, 50%, or even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or a car dealership? For example, a Honda Odyssey fuel pump costs $353 from a chain store. And from Rock Auto, it's $216. And this is also a company that has reliably low prices for each and every single customer. They're a do-it-yourself sort of company, a family business, and they're just overall around a great way to find the auto parts solution that you need. So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck and write in Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. But going into this last and final segment of this episode of the Locked On Red Sox podcast, I just want to do a little bit of a mental health minute about, comparing yourself to other people and other people's situations. It's so easy to do so through social media and really put your situation down. And something that I try and preach a lot on this podcast is really looking back on what you've already done and be proud of yourself and realize that you're exactly where you're supposed to be. Don't overthink your current situation and compare it to somebody else because everybody has something different going on. Whether you might have some stresses that nobody knows about, the same person that you're comparing yourself to might have similar stresses or stresses that they're not talking about. And you never know what somebody is going through. You see on social media, people having success and people doing great. And you just don't know what they're dealing with behind the curtain and behind the scenes. And somebody might be having a really hard time with their confidence, but you think that they're super duper confident. So never compare your situation. Always understand that you're exactly where you're supposed to be right now. Everything that is happening in your life is happening for a reason. It's for a lesson that you need to learn, even though you don't realize why you need to learn it. And you might not want it to happen. Become aware of the lessons that you might be able to learn from different situations that might be arising. And all you can really do is do your best, put your best foot forward and show up each and every single day with a positive attitude and an open-minded outlook. Because, we can only control what we can control. We can't control other people. We can just control how we show up. So before we end this episode, though, I just wanted to take a second to look at your guys' thoughts on the game. We made a tweet around the eighth inning asking about your thoughts. And this is something that I love to do, hear from Red Sox Nation and get a little bit of their reactions, especially during a tough loss like we saw tonight. So Chris Van D said, "Big Bob in the heartthrob is not the first baseman that the Red Sox are looking for." Couldn't agree more. Talked about this a little bit earlier in this episode. He is just not a first baseman, in my opinion, not a great defenseman whatsoever, and has just had, in my opinion, zero positives to this Red Sox team. Just tough way to just throw all this crap on Bob, but I don't really honestly have anything positive to say about him, unfortunately. Hopefully he can figure it out, rooting for him, but it's just tough to see him struggle after having such an intriguing second half in 2021. New York Patriots said Jake Diekman sucks. Completely agree. Has been so unreliable throughout this season. Has his good moments, but he's just so out of control for some reason when he comes out of the pen. Mark Pacelli, 13. Sorry, I don't know why it's so difficult for me to say your last name. Why are pop flies so difficult? Yeah, I don't get it. Bobby Dalbec makes it so difficult, and he just seems to make every single play very difficult. You know, he does have some flashes of some good defenseman plays, but that play was just so tough to watch. Ringo, 1,256, ended up saying, real team effort, several people contributed to the suck. Yep, completely agree. Felix Valdez, Jake Diekman, Bobby Dalbec are all contributed to the suck for the Red Sox in this one. We greatly appreciate everybody tuning into this episode of the Locked On Red Sox podcast and for making Locked On Red Sox your first listen of every single day. Now make your second listen, Locked On MLB Prospects. Host Lindsey Crosby is a prospect encyclopedia, and he's going deep on the MLB stars of tomorrow. It's free and available wherever you get your podcast. But we hope that everybody has a great rest of their day. And we can't wait to see what the Red Sox and Chris Sale do tonight. But we'll talk about that more in the next episode of the Locked On Red Sox podcast. But we'll end it how we always end it. Let's go Sox. Peace.